Blessed to be together this morning, first day of the week, the day in which Christ rose from the dead, and we take great hope in that, and it's always good to be together as a congregation. I know we have a few out this morning, but it's also good to have guests with us. I'm glad that they are with us. I'm glad that you're with us this morning. We're going to get into the study of God's Word, and what we're looking at is 2 Corinthians chapters 10 through 13. This week is our study. On Wednesday night, we're going to get together and have a further discussion on this subject. And so to help us in our readings, as we're reading five chapters a week, is to take and jump off with a sermon and then further discussion. So I encourage you to read five chapters a week. Even if you're not reading along with us, make sure that you're reading your Bible, reading the scriptures, or listening to them. I'm always encouraged. I know that we have a few in the congregation, or at least one actually coming to mind right now, who's not exactly following along with the same reading, but they are doing at least five chapters a week and listening. So I think that's a great thing. I want to encourage you in that. I think it's very good for our congregation that we are disciples. As we are disciples of Christ and we are following Christ, we want to be able to make other disciples. That's our mission as the church. That's what we read about in Matthew chapter 28. And so I hope that we think about that, that we have others around us, whether we are neighbors or those we work with, that we are eager to encourage, to talk to them about God, to talk to them about the gospel, and to encourage them to study and read with us throughout the week. What a huge impact that is in the lives of others. And we want to get to the point where not where we're making disciples, but the idea is to make disciples who make disciples. It's something that grows and continues on. Now I'm going to get into our study this morning from our scripture. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I think this is very much overlooked. And I think a lot of preachers might miss over some of these things in 2 Corinthians. And I thank God that I had the opportunity to preach on this because it's a part of our readings moving along. And there are certain parts of the Bible that if you're simply picking subjects every week, or you're looking at current events in the news and so forth, you're going to miss things. You're not going to have a well-balanced study of the Scripture. So we're blessed to be able to do that this morning. And what we're going to look at is the subject of boasting. And Paul makes light of boasting. And he uses it in a very powerful way. We want to look at that and think about this boasting in the Lord. Boasting in God and our Creator and how we can do that. And I think you can see the benefits of that right now. No, I'm not going to be boasting in myself, but I boast in the Lord. But how do I do that? Well, Paul is going to very much illustrate for us how to do that. How can you include the power of God more in your conversations? How can you include more about what God is doing? And what we see here in the text is he's going to say, as Paul says, I'm going to boast the Lord in my weaknesses so that the power of God is demonstrated in my life. And I think if you start thinking about that right now, you think about your weaknesses. You think about your limitations. You think about the sicknesses and the struggles you've had in life. And you think about the one who's brought you through it, who's delivered you from them. And as you might share the things that are going on with your life from others, I hope that you never shy away from when you're talking to friends and neighbors and family, that you say, listen, I went through this. And when they ask you, what would you do? How did you get through that? That you readily tell them, well, not that I had the best advisor, or the best lawyer, or the best positions, but that I relied on God, that He delivered me, and I glorify Him. And therefore, when I boast in my weaknesses, I am glorifying God. Imagine that in your conversations, evangelizing, sharing the truth with others. In our Sunday night studies, we're going to continue to be looking at the matter of sharing our faith with others. And so this passage here helps us with that. But as I was thinking about this even a little bit more this morning, Paul is talking to the congregation. He's talking to this church at Corinth who's had problems. They've repented, but there are still false teachers among them. There are still these false apostles, super apostles, as he calls them. Sarcastically, coming in and trying to deceive them and pull them away to a different gospel, to a different Jesus, to a different message. And the world around us is always doing that. The media is always doing that. And so what Paul is doing here is he's again saying to the church, even among them, you boast among yourselves and you boast in your weaknesses to glorify God. So it's not just a matter of evangelism to the world, it's also a reason for us to encourage one another. As we're about to have a congregational meal today, there's a lot of things that we talk about. And as we talk about the things we should be sharing with one another, the struggles and things that we go through in our life, asking for the prayers of others, we see that with Paul. And then we want to look further at, again, showing and looking at how God is glorified through it, because He's going to bring us through these difficult times. And as we've been studying through 2 Corinthians, that's the message we've been getting. First thing I want to do here is I want to read our exposition. So this is not going to be on the screen behind me. You have a Bible, you have your Bible, you got it on your phone somewhere. Open up your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's read verses 12 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 18. We're going to read this passage, and then I'm going to draw some observations. And I hope as you're going through it, you look at it. You're saying, I see this, I see this. And whenever you make a few observations, you say, I see these two or three things, you're going to be able to get a more in-depth understanding in Scripture. And I base this, making these observations, off of what I see Paul doing and what I see, as I believe Paul is also the writer of the book of Hebrews, in the same thing. All right, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 12 to the end of the chapter. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. There's a lot to just draw from that right there, things we don't want to do. Don't be comparing yourselves to others, especially for those who are slanderous and teaching lies. Let's keep reading, verse 13. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us to reach even to you. So Paul's saying to them, we're going to boast of what God has done and assigned us to. Look at verse 14. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we are the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others. But our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. And so when we boast in our weaknesses and we boast in the Lord, we show the blessings of God in our life and God commending us, that God is with us. It's not about us boasting of our ability. If you go through and as you're reading through 2 Corinthians, you see some of the accusations. They say, Paul, well, he's strong in letter, but he's weak in person. He is a poor speaker and he's not a very good preacher. I've heard those words. But when you think about those things, what do you do? How do you respond to that? You say, well, I have excuses, and or I'm much better than what you're saying. No. I think about the book of Job, and I think about Job and the things he went through and toward the end of his life. And we read there in Job chapter 40, and I think it's verses 6 through 8, as I recall, as he is talking to God. And it appears to me that his final conclusion is that, Lord, it's all for your glory. It's not about me and me trying to find out why you did this. It was all to bring about your glory. These are the observations I draw from 2 Corinthians 10. You might have some to add to it, and I definitely want to hear about those. This is what I'm seeing. Christians should only boast in the influence that God has assigned us. He's blessed us to spread the truth, to stand for the faith, and other people are going to persecute us. They're going to slander us. We're going to go through trials that are going to test us. The world's going to be looking at us when we go through sicknesses, when we go through times when we lose our job or employment. They're going to see, they're going to be watching how we respond. What are we going to do? We're going to boast in ourselves? Are we going to complain about how horrible everything is? Or are we going to say, through these weaknesses, I'm going to be delivered, and I have been delivered. And it's God who always brings me through them. I see this. Paul and his evangelists were the first to come to that church in Corinth. God blessed them to do that. And he uses his influence. He wants, what his concern here, the Apostle Paul's concern is that these people coming in, that they don't deceive them. They don't deceive them like the serpent deceived Eve, is what he says further into the text. He says, what I don't want to see you do is be drawn away to a different gospel, to a different Jesus, to a different teaching. I want you to remain firm in the faith. The Apostle Paul, as we see here, wanted the faith at Corinth to increase. He wanted the influence to start with them to grow. And I want you to think about this as Christians. As we increase and as we grow, our influence, our blessings, the struggles we go through, our growth is to influence the world around us. It is to help to spread the gospel, even through hard times. When we look around and we think, you know, the state of the community and the world and the nation, and we think, what good is going to come out of this? Christ has already set the example. Paul has already set the way by imitating Christ. And so we look to him. And we want the gospel to spread to all the world and to continue to increase. Christians who boast, again, we must boast in the Lord. And so we show that God is with us, that God commends us, that he supports us, and that he is with us. As we think about this, I want you to continue to think about the good that comes from it. Think about the situations, the things, the difficulties you've been through recently. If you're like me, when I get really sick, I just pray. And I pray out loud, like, God, help me. Christ, help me. Take this away from me. Relieve me of this sickness. Even in those times, we show where our faith is. What do you think about in those trials? Do you think, well, I need to find a better way, and I need to find a better medicine and a better physician? Or are you thinking, I need to turn to God? Psalm 103 and verse 3 says, the Lord heals us of every disease. It is God who does the healing, who delivers us from sickness. Give him glory for what he does in our weaknesses. Another thing here is when we look at the word for weakness in scriptures, it's often translated as sickness, illness. And so Paul has those things in mind, and I'm very confident that the Corinthians are hearing those same things. Are we boasting enough? Are we boasting enough in our weaknesses so that God is glorified? The world today tells us to be quiet. Don't talk about God in the workplace. Don't talk about him in the public square. Keep your mouth quiet. Or maybe you can sit in your church building and talk about God, but don't put it on social media. Don't proclaim it anywhere else. That's what we're being told. But Paul, again, in the world, he's living in that world as a Christian. When people are telling them, we don't want to hear many times what you have to say. But that's not going to make him quiet. He's going to boast in God. The Apostle Paul, he boasted in the Lord, and he does this. He explains here in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12 and even chapter 10, he's all doing it to undermine these false teachers who are boasting in themselves, saying, listen, you should pay us. We're great speakers. We're well educated. We have an understanding in philosophy. Paul has nothing to compare with us. They're boasting in themselves, boasting in their education, boasting in their ability, and they're not boasting in their weaknesses. They're not giving glory to God. We continue to read. If you look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we have Paul again concerned with the false apostles. And as I mentioned earlier, he wants them not to be deceived as Eve was deceived by the serpent. He wants their thoughts to always be sincere and of a pure devotion to Christ. That there's nothing else pulling them away. That they're not putting their hope in something else. A lot of people today, they're always doing that. They're worshiping a group of people. They might be worshiping a political party or a political figure. They might be worshiping athletes or people of fame or beauty and thinking, that's what I want. They're coveting what they have instead of coveting what God has given them and wants them to have, wants them to desire. That's what I mean by that, by coveting. But the apostle here, he confronted the congregation. He says to them, and you start to read Paul here, he says, you readily put up with this. You listen to them and you listen to these things and you're just putting up with it. They bring to you another Jesus and another spirit and another gospel, and you readily do it. He gets on to them for not standing up and not defending the truth, for not standing for those who have been declaring the gospel. And, you know, I thank God for my for brethren who say we're not going to compromise, that we're not going to change the truth. We need that in the congregation. Let's look a little bit further down in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look in verses 12 through 15. Listen to what he says here, what Paul says. He says, "And what I am doing," talking about this boasting, "I will continue to do in order to undermine the claims of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles." Listen to this description here. "They're false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." They disguise themselves as missionaries of Christ. "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." A lot of things today where people were saying, look, this is a good thing. And if it's not embedded in Jesus Christ and in the gospel, I'd be questioning that every bit, all the time. "For Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants as righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. They will expose themselves eventually for who they are." You know, and Paul warns this church here. He says, "I don't want to come to you and I don't want to use my authority." He says, "But if I do come to you and those men are there, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to verify every charge against them. I'm going to bring forth the witnesses. I'm going to expose their evil works." Can you imagine seeing that in the church today? Many people today would rather bicker back and forth or try to dodge it and not listen to it and let false teaching go on instead of addressing things. And now I'm not saying be mean about it, but Paul here says he doesn't want to come in that authority. He says here, "This is the third, I am coming to you, and every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses." Again, from Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. He says, "I'll warn those who sinned before and all the others. I'll warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come, I will not spare them." He's going to bring forth the witnesses. He's going to expose those who've done wickedness, done wicked. Another thing that Paul brings up here is he talks about being slandered. Have you ever been slandered? Somebody ever spoken bad about you behind your back? There's probably everybody in here has experienced that. Maybe even very recently. At first, you know, you think about those things and you think, well, I don't let my ego get the best of me. Who cares what they say about me? At the same time, Paul here is concerned that other Christians are going to be influenced and led away. You think about as well the kind of apathy that goes on within congregations to where they don't care anymore to boast in the Lord. But Paul boasted of his trials and his weaknesses. That's how he countered these things. He could have gone up and said, listen, I'm not guilty of these things and I'm a good man and look at all these things. Instead, he says, look at how these weaknesses, look at these things that they accuse me of, and the only thing that delivers me and helps me is God. Paul says this, "Who is weak and I am weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." Well, why do you do that, Paul? Why do you talk to others about your weaknesses? Now, when he says weaknesses here, he's talking about trials, he's talking about slanders, he's talking about sicknesses, he's talking about hardships he endures in his life. Let's keep reading chapter 12 and verse 7 and following. He says, "So to keep me," and here he talks about the thorn of the flesh. He says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn of the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." And you notice here that Paul's praying, and he's prayed three times, and the Lord still doesn't remove it from him, but he says, "My grace is sufficient for you. Even in this weakness, you can endure." That sometimes these things that we have in our life are a good thing and they're going to bless us. He also talks about that thorn in the flesh, and many people have thought many things about what it can mean. I think it's probably most likely referring to his eyesight. Here he is. He talks about in the beginning of the chapter that he has been caught up to the heavens to see glorious things and hear things he cannot further speak about. And he says, whether in the body or out of the body, and he doesn't even speak about himself personally. He says, "I know someone." And then later, he makes it clear that he's talking about himself right here in the text about these revelations. So it would make sense here that someone who could see such glorious things and could see and see Christ come to him on the road to Damascus, that's where he was converted. That's where he had blindness. That's where he struggled with his eyes, according to the text of Galatians, that this authority, that he would even struggle with it, that it is a humbling thing for him. But here we see what God says to Paul. He says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" I remember as a teenager, I'm playing sports and wondering, you know, why am I not the fastest at this or the strongest or that? And I train hard and I do my best. But it's not meant for that. You know, even in the trials and the things that happen in your life, you can see God working by His grace to put you in the place that you need to be to give glory to Him. As long as we continue to seek Him, that's what's going to happen. Paul goes on here, he says, "Therefore, because God's grace is sufficient and His power is perfect in weakness," he says, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses." That's what we do as Christians. We boast of our weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses." What does he mean by weaknesses? Here you see it. Weaknesses, sicknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is when God is doing the work. When I can't do it myself, He gets the glory. Whatever setting you are in this week, I encourage you to begin to think that way. Think about those who are around you. You think about those things that you struggle with, and you share with others how God helps you, how He strengthens you. The boasting and weakness, it glorifies God. It glorifies the one who rescues us. It shows that we rely on Him. Should Christians embrace and boast of their weaknesses? Yes, we need to be doing this. And from the very beginning, I think it's often a problem that we'd rather speak about ourselves or boast ourselves up. We get very offended because of our ego or our self-esteem or because we're insecure because somebody said something about us. What great opportunities that is for us to use those hardships to glorify God, to show Christ at work. And I think one of the most powerful statements here is everything that's behind this, the power behind this, allowing God to be glorified through our weaknesses is demonstrated in Jesus Christ. This is our last passage this morning, and it's certainly not the least. Read it with me. "Since you seek proof that Christ is speaking in me, He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For He was crucified in weakness." This reminds me of Philippians chapter 2. "For He was crucified in weakness. He came as a servant. He gave up those things. He became as a servant and died in the flesh." And then we keep reading, "but lives by the power of God." Now, Jesus came in the flesh and He died in the flesh. That didn't mean that God died. It means that His spirit separated from His body. And Christ, His body dying, was put into the grave to demonstrate the power, God's creative power, His power to resurrect us on the last day, to give us hope of eternal life. And it says, but He lives by the power of God. God resurrected Him. Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit resurrected Jesus. Jesus says in John 10 that He will resurrect Himself. The whole Godhead is involved in the resurrection of Christ. "For He was crucified in weakness, but He lives by the power of God." And let's finish reading. "For we also are weak in Him." We suffer in those weaknesses. "But in dealing with you, we will live with Him by the power of God." I think this is a very powerful message. I hope you take it to heart this week. I hope that you make this a part of your reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 through 13, and that we will discuss it further. There's no way we're going to get past it this Wednesday night in our studies. And it's something that should be encouraging to us. You think about your conversations and you might be wondering, you know, God doesn't, He just doesn't seem to come up in the way when I talk to others. And I think reading in this scripture, you should see that there is a way, a definite way, that He should always be coming up. You should always be talking about your Creator and talking about your Savior and about Christ. So we always be a part of our lives and our prayers and our thoughts and our thinking, the way that we view this world. I encourage you this morning, if you're not a Christian, that you do what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians, that you examine your life and you change. Will you pass the test is what Paul says. Will you demonstrate to the world that you are a believer and that you are faithful? He goes on to say this to this congregation. Will you pass the test? Examine yourself. This morning, if you haven't put on Christ in baptism, I encourage you to do that. That hearing that you believe and confess that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that you repent of your sins, that you be baptized, buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, and raised up to the newness of life. If you need prayers and encouragement, we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you through your trials. So in the end, you can boast of what God has done in your life to others. Whatever your needs are this morning, we encourage you to come. Let's sing together.